Andrew Carnegie said it this way. See, so many of God's blessings move through relationships. I ministered on this at Kindred Hearts in October, and you can get the tape, but it was real good. I can't get into it now, but so many of God, I am who I am today because of the relationships that God has put in my life at Resurrection Life Church. So many of God's blessings move through relationships. But Andrew Carnegie said this. It says, it marks a big step in a man's development when he comes to realize that other men may be called in to help him do a better job than he can do alone. See, anything that we can do by ourselves, it's not destiny. It's just simple ambition. Want to write it down, Desiree? Huh? Anything we can do by ourselves is not destiny. It's just simple ambition. God did not design for us to be loners. He figured that out clear at the beginning in Genesis. Remember Adam? He was in the garden. It was a perfect, sinless garden. Adam got to hang out with God in the cool of the day, the Bible says. Everything was perfect. Everything was grand. But you know what God said? God said, you know what? Uh-uh. This is not good. There's a lack here. He needs a relationship. He needs someone to have community with. He needs a team member. And so even though Adam had a perfect garden, he had a great relationship with God, talked with him in the cool of the day, it wasn't enough. Just sitting at home, Christian TV isn't enough. God said it's not good for you to be alone. You need relationship. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need a relationship, baby. No one is ever too rich. No one is ever too rich. Dan, wait till after the service. No one is ever too rich that they don't need a relationship. Huh? Dan just got married, so, you know. Let's look at these scriptures real quick. We're not going to spend a lot of time. You can read them yourself. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, because of Jesus, the whole body, which is the church, is joined and firmly knitted together. And when each part is working properly in all its functions, what happens? It grows. It grows and it grows into full maturity. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like, you know, expansion, growth, increase. How many like some of that, huh? Yeah. Ephesians 2:19 in the Living Bible, it says that we are members of God's very own family. And I love this next statement. Citizens of God's country. And we belong in God's household with every other Christian. In the NIV, that verse also says, for the common good. Now, we're talking about benefits of being a team member. See, if you think of our body, obviously the heart is working 24/7, isn't it? And that thumbnail, you know, kind of seems like it's just sitting there, but the thumbnail is very important, isn't it, Chuck? Very important. And they all have different parts, but what does it say? It says it's all for the common good. So if you're an active part of the team, you know, even if you're not working 24/7, you still get all the common good of the whole team. You still get the benefits. How many know that if you're on a professional basketball team and if you're number 10 in the lineup, you may only get to play for a few minutes, but guess what? You get the benefits of being on that team, don't you? Uh-huh. There's benefits, a common good in being part of a team. Say living beyond myself. Once we believe, that's good. But then the Bible says, according to that scripture, that we're to belong. And belonging has a lot more to do with than just believing, isn't it? And we all want to belong to something. So once we believe, we're called to belong. Romans chapter 12 says, we who are many, and we are many, are called to form one team, which means that every member is a team player. Isn't that right? Every member is a team player. And in the next 4 to 6 weeks coming up, you're going to start seeing things popping up on the walls, coming out of the carpet. growing out of the chairs. No, that's just exaggerating. But things are going to change. And you're going to begin to see before your eyes how valuable you are and how important you are to this family, to this community, so that you can help us reach this region. But every member, according to Romans chapter 12, every member is a team player. And so, you need to bring your talents to this team. We want you to be able to bring your talents to this team. And one of the easiest first things that you can do is there's these bright yellow passouts on your chair. You just take one home. Just grab it right now, take it home, and that's the first thing you can do to start experiencing the benefits and experiencing the common good of being part of something bigger than yourself. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Now, I like what the Amplify says. "Where there is no counsel, purposes are frustrated." Have you ever tried to go do something and it is just so frustrating? I mean, it was like so easy in your mind, but it has just turned into a nightmare. Well, perhaps you didn't bounce it off of some team members. It says that plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they are accomplished. Now, I had been sharing the scripture with Joshua recently. He has been working very hard over the past 6 months building this deluxe winterized chicken suite. We have 5 chickens, and he adores them. And I do too. We all do. But he just had it in his mind, you know, and it's a suite. It ain't a coop. And so he realized he needed a really nice suite for these chickens. And so he's got building in his genes. See, the Stayhauers are builders. And it's in his genes. So, you know, it's there. But he's 11. Okay? And he's got all his power tools. He got some power tools for Christmas. And so he gets in his mind, he's going to build this deluxe winterized chicken suite, Fidel. So he just starts pulling out all the power tools. He starts ripping off siding off the shed. You know, he needs all these supplies, you know. He runs over to Uncle Dan's. What kind of wood, what kind of stuff can we get for this chicken suite? And, you know, he's just, you can just see the stuff flying. He just wants to do it now. And he says, "Mom, I'll proudly build that chicken suite, I will. I'll proudly do it, Mom." And so he's so excited and thrilled. So he's got all his power tools out, you know. Cut-off saw, you name it. He's 11, right? But it's in his genes. I want to encourage him. So, you know, he just wants to start cutting, you know, 4x8 sheets and just going to town. So I said, "Hun, just want to just write down some thoughts. You know, let's get a plan on paper. Pass it by your dad." We're talking about teamwork, right? "Pass it by your dad. Maybe we could, you know, save the siding from the shed. You know, we might be able to, you know, the countertop will still be mine. You know, we could save some materials, save on labor." And, you know, just trying to encourage him. You know, "This is good. I'm glad you want to build this chicken suite. But, you know, let's just pass it by daddy." And I said, "Joshua, there's a great benefits by working with a team. You can even save time. You'd have time left over to build something else." And so he did. He passed those plans by daddy, and he's learning to do that more and more. But I'm telling you, we got some awesome chickens. Them chickens, once they moved in to the suite, I'm telling you, their feathers just stuck out a little bit further. Our chickens, they walk around our yard, and they are proud chickens. They love their suite. I mean, when Josh opens the door to put them in at night, you know, they're looking around just proud of their chicken suite. I'm telling you, those chickens are so blessed, I'm just waiting for them to lay a golden egg. With that kind of suite, I believe it could happen. Amen? We've got a cat that reads the Word of God. Why not a chicken with a golden egg, huh? If it's going to happen, it'll happen to me. So, he's learning to seek counsel. Say to yourself, "I need to seek counsel." Some of us can learn from 11-year-old. Now, God took notice. We're just going to touch base on this. God took notice of a team back in Genesis chapter 11. We hear about it in Sunday school, and it was the Tower of Babel. Now, the Bible says, we don't have time to go there, but this team of people, they decided to build a tower to heaven. Now, that sounds like a lofty, great idea, right? Sounds like an admirable thing. They wanted to build a tower to heaven. And then the Bible says it was so that they could make a name for themselves. Now, that's a problem. Because the Bible says that there's no other name under heaven and earth but Jesus. And so, even though they were a powerful team, the Bible says, they had the wrong motive. See, teamwork just doesn't have to do with technique. It's a heart issue. And the Bible says that even though they were an incredible, powerful team, this is even what God said. God said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So it was a powerful team. God recognized they could do mighty things, but they had the wrong motive. Because teamwork isn't about technique. It's about the heart. And when I'm on a team with a mission out in another country, it's all heart. And there ain't nothing like it. And so God said, you know what? They've got the wrong motive, and we know what happened. He scattered them. But the potential was there, wasn't it? How many remember that story? So the potential was there for powerful things to happen. Well, now jump forward about 2,000 years, and I want to share with you in closing a powerful, true story. I think it's one of the best stories on teamwork. Turn to your neighbor and say, living beyond myself. In 1970, three men desired to go on a trip. These three men were headed for the moon. And up to that point, they were in their, 30s. Up to that point, everything that they had done in life, everything that they had experienced in life had prepared them for that moment. A trip to the moon. Say a trip to the moon. And we as Christians, we come from so many different backgrounds, but there's a reason for that. And God can turn that for good. But sometimes the good, bad, and ugly that you have been through, the good, bad, and ugly, all of it brings you to January 2006. And God has been preparing you for the good, bad, and ugly. He has taken all of those things, and now you're here for 2006, and you are prepared for such a time as this. And so these men had worked, gone to school, trained all the way up to this time, and they were going to take a trip to the moon. They had booked a flight to the moon. Can you imagine? They had booked a flight to the moon. Truly the chance of a lifetime. And so, everything was going great for these three men. Liftoff went great. Separation from the boosters, perfect. But then somewhere, right about here, they hit major trouble. Not only did they lose the moon, but they were about to lose their very lives. It's the mission of Apollo 13. How many have seen that movie? The rest of you rent it today. Now, I don't watch very many movies. I just watch the good ones. But Apollo 13, you've got to get the movie. So, Apollo 13, three men were heading for the moon. And after about a few hours, these three astronauts, it was evident that not only were they going to get, they were no longer going to go to the moon. Now, they were believing God for their lives. And so, here they are. It's not Route 66. How many know that Route 66, you could still get some help on, huh? But we're talking about, galaxies away? Can you just imagine? I mean, being stranded out on Route 66 bad enough. Highway 66. Just try to grasp the feeling of being in the galaxy. I mean, I know this doesn't look far, but it's like a galaxy away. And so these three astronauts, they're stuck in the middle of the atmosphere with nowhere to go. It seems like they're stranded, that there's just no way to get back. Well, even though they're relatively close to the Earth as far as galaxies go, the crazy thing is that they couldn't turn around. That wasn't an option. Their only hope was to go all the way around the moon and perhaps take all that last bit of energy, push them into our atmosphere, and get back home. Can you just imagine? Look at the distance. Hello. Look at the distance. Do the math. It just seems like, can we just turn around? But no, they had to go all the way around the moon, allow the moon's gravity to pull them back. Well, anyhow, for you rocket scientists, you understand that. So, when this happened, their oxygen, all their extra oxygen was instantly gone. All electricity was gone. Their power boosters, everything. Their options were gone. Turn to your neighbor and say their options were gone. It was a nightmare of a mess. It was unthinkable. Well, thank God there was a commander in Houston. Now, this is another message all in itself. It is amazing to me. We have these three men in another galaxy and an entire team of hundreds of men in Houston, Texas. This was back in the 1970s. So, thank God there was a commander in Houston. He walks in with his clipboard into a room of rocket scientists. And he says, "Men, we've got a problem." And when he walked into that room, those men were talking about all the problems that they were having. They were pretty much declaring doom. They were pretty much declaring defeat. And the men are kind of, talking within one another. And that commander comes in. And he overhears a couple of the men speaking. And they said, "You know what? This is about to be NASA's worst hour." Everything in the natural seemed to be that way. The unthinkable has now happened. So those men, they're thinking this is going to be NASA's final hour. But the commander walks into the room full of rocket scientists, and he says, "Men, gentlemen, with all due respect, I believe it'll be NASA's finest hour." He said, "Now look, we've got three men. You're going to get together on a team, and you're going to figure out how to get those men back alive. Just want to let you know," he said, "failure is not an option." So, over the hours and days that came, those men came together and they worked endlessly. They strategized. They threw papers away. They strategized more. They wrote more things down. They planned. They began to talk and began to say, "No, this won't work, but this will. This, but that won't work. This part won't work." And they all began to work together. And it did become NASA's finest hour. You know, some people say Apollo 13 was a failure. What a waste of money. You know what I think? It was NASA's finest hour. Because those men, they took something unimaginable and made it tangible. Because they were willing to work together. I believe it was one of NASA's finest hours. And so, because they all worked together, see, none of those rocket scientists, as wonderful and grand as they all are, as wonderful and grand as all of you are, each and every one of you, none of them by themselves could have brought those three men back down alive. But together, we created history. They took together, they made the impossible and they made it possible. They took what seemed grave and made it grand. They took the unthinkable and made it tangible. My goodness, God himself said when a people, when a team of men and women will come together, is there anything impossible for them? It's unthinkable just to have a cafe in a church. What are you talking about? Huh? This will be our finest hour. When men and women and children of God come together. Our children are not the church of tomorrow. Our children are the church of today. They don't have a quarter cup of the Holy Spirit. They don't have a quarter cup of Jesus. They've got just as much as you got, and I hope they outpass us all. I'm expecting our finest hours. How about you? Together, the word team. Together, just as the scripture says, everyone, say everyone. Turn to your neighbor and say everyone. Everyone accomplishes more. Team. Team, teamwork, living beyond ourselves is doing life together. It's accomplishing things that we can't even comprehend. We can't even wrap our mind around. I can't tell you how it happens, but it does. I've been doing it for 15 years now, and I love it. But we do things that no individual by ourselves can do, and that's how we live beyond ourselves, when we come together as a team, and we all benefit. There are over 50 references in the New Testament to doing things together. Just a few of them say this, that we're to come and love one another, that we're to pray for each other, that we're to encourage one another, that we're to teach, serve, and greet one another. Say team. That we're to forgive and we're to submit to each other and honor and be devoted to one another. It's not a technique. It's a heart issue. See, working on a team, there's an anticipation. There's an expectation, the joy of sharing life. Experiencing life together. It's struggles and victories and aches and pains and all those things that go with teamwork. Sure, sometimes it is easier for me to do things by myself. Amen and amen. But I don't get to experience things when I just do it by myself. I'll just have what I have. But boy, when I put myself on a team, it may take a little longer, may sweat more, and I may just get, you just might get on my nerves. Huh? We're not saying it's easier, but all the benefits. How many like benefits? Huh? Yes, for your children's children. And so each of us have been given literally a paddle by God. And on the end of your paddle is your thumbprint. It's your individual circuitry, and I thank God that you're so individual. Your talents, your gifts, and they've been designed by God himself. And then he places you in a community, in a church, with people all around you, different shapes and sizes, smells and smiles and personalities, huh? It's his design, it's his idea. He places you within a community, a local church, for a divine purpose. That's where you're at right today. Look around. That's where you're at. And then he places us in this community so that we can reach our community, our region for Christ. He puts us smack right alongside of the person that you're with right now for a purpose. Could be that rescue hug. Could be a support, a ligament, whatever it is. I know it's something. No one person can take this area for Christ. There's nobody that grand. It'll take a community reaching out to a community. And I believe it'll be our finest hour. And everyone will benefit from being on the team. And we'll all have to stand and say, God is good. This is the great adventure. There's nothing like being on a team, being on the family of God. Go ahead and stand up this morning. Grab hands with the person next to you. It's thrilling to see this church full, but I'm not satisfied. It's going to be full both services, three services, whatever. There is plenty. You think, you know, your mind says, well, we're just in St. Louis. Where does that say that in the Bible that, yeah. Well, we're already one of the biggest churches in the air. Yeah, so? Amen. I wanna take people from the atmosphere and bring them back, Chuck. Our finest hours are ahead, and we'll do it together. There are people that you know on every corner, in every workplace, that so need God, and they so want to belong to something instead of the Moose Lodge. Huh? Thank God for the Moose, because this used to be their building. But God had a bigger plan, amen? Let's pray. Father God, I sense that you're doing great things in each and every one's heart, that there's a stirring that only you can do, and it thrills me. Father, I thank you that our finest hours are ahead, and it won't be no one person in particular, but it'll be us as a team coming together. Father, it'll be our finest hour, that each and every rocket scientist here, each and every talent here will begin to rise up into their place, even though it may be scary. Father, I thank you that they'll be willing to step out, and immediately I know that they will feel like they belong, and that they will begin to immediately experience what Ecclesiastes says. They'll immediately begin to experience the common good, the benefits of being on a team. Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would just brood over each and every woman, man, and child in this place, and that the Holy Spirit would not let them alone until they say, yes, yes, I want to be part of a team, in whatever way that is. And Father, I thank you that as they do that, freedom will come, habits will fall off, bondages will break, and they'll walk into newness and freshness in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give God a big hand.